This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
In so many cases, there's that guy behind the guy, the one who doesn't fire the weapon, doesn't face the consequences because there's a guy in front of that guy. But sometimes they do. Sometimes consequences do catch up to those. Even the guy behind the guy behind the guy. The one who doesn't fire the weapon, who doesn't forge the signature, doesn't take the stand and melt down on live TV, but quietly moves the money, stamps the papers, and makes the whole crooked circus possible. We've seen this in a lot of cases. In the saga of Alec Murdaugh, the Shakespearean moment, it goes to a man named Russell Lafitte. That's where this saga takes us back to. He is that guy. A man with a clean suit, a shiny title, just enough South Carolina pedigree to slide past security. Y'all have some sweet tea while you're down here, okay? Wasn't bad, huh? My Southern? I don't know. I spent a week there this summer. So, of course, now I'm an expert on how to speak in South Carolina. No, I'm not. But it's a nice place. People are friendly. It's easy to get sucked in and think, oh, this is great. I come from another friendly place. Wisconsin's like that too. Very friendly. And if you have nefarious means and you're friendly too, you can very easily pounce on the goodness of other human beings who are used to interacting with the goodness of other human beings. Make no mistake, this isn't a case of a clueless banker duped by a cunning lawyer. This is about a man who knew the rules, had the power to enforce them, and instead chose to break them again and again to keep the Murdaugh machine humming. And now, that man's heading to prison, state and federal, after pleading guilty to 8 felony counts in South Carolina and 6 federal crimes tied to one of the most brazen legal and financial frauds in modern Southern history. Let's break it all down. The story of Russell Lafitte, the banker with a badge of trust. Russell Lafitte wasn't just any banker. He was the CEO of Palmetto State Bank, a small but influential institution in Hampton County. That bank had history, roots, reputation. And when your last name is Lafitte, that reputation came baked in. It's one of those families in the area. Been there forever. Everybody knows the name. There's a lot of connections, and there's power built with time, built with influence, built with good deeds as well. It's not all based on negativity. His family founded the bank. He was the 4th generation executive, and he carried the weight of legacy on his back and eventually the burden of betrayal. But here's where it gets darker. Lafitte wasn't just signing off on loans or rubber stamping mortgages. He was stepping directly into people's lives, often at their most vulnerable moments. As a court-appointed conservator, that title comes with a sacred duty. You might have heard that title before. Let me walk you through how it works. You're not just a banker. You're the legal guardian of someone's financial future, usually someone who's been injured, traumatized, or otherwise unable to manage their own affairs. It takes you from behind the bank counter, bean counting, and putting you into people's personal affairs as a gatekeeper. Okay? So understand that. And what did Russell do with the power? He turned it into a pipeline for theft. Not for his own lavish lifestyle. Not entirely. He did get to suckle off of, anyway. But to feed the never-ending cash burn of Alec Murdaugh's crumbling empire. He got a little chunk of that on the side. And if you're watching me on YouTube, you're like, why does he keep touching his eye? I'm sorry. My allergies are horrible. I have a cold and I'm on a lot of cold medication today. So I'm trying to get through this and my eye is watering just the right one while I record this. So if a tear comes down my eye, it's not for Alec Murdaugh or Russell Lafitte. To move money in circles so tight, even the victims couldn't trace it. And he did it for years. That's how good Russell was. Let's put some names to the numbers. Natarsha Thomas, a minor, injured in a car accident. Settlement, $350,245, was supposed to be locked down for her care and her future. But instead of protecting that money, Lafitte greenlit its misappropriation, collecting his conservator fees while doing none of the actual protecting. He just signed off on the documents and let Murdaugh bleed it dry. Yeah. You're like, how does this happen? This is how it happens. When there's no checks and balances, the one that's supposed to be checking this and balancing it from an unscrupulous attorney bleeding someone's money dry that's not entitled to them, that's how this happens. When you let it, when you choose to look the other way, when you choose to go, hey, you know, we're part of the boys club here. We know how we do things. Oh, I'm going to fill it back up. I promise I'm going to fill it back up. I got some more money coming in. Maggie's going to be doing some crafts down at the craft fair. We're going to fill it all back up. We're going to fill it all the money's going to come back. Okay, Russell? Okay, I got you. Who knows what the hell lies were told, if any even needed to be told. Hakeem Pinky, or Pinicky, a young African-American man rendered deaf and paralyzed in a catastrophic crash. When his life ended, the theft didn't. His estate lost $309,581 to Murdaugh Lafitte's scheme. Where did it go? Not to his care, not to his grieving family. It went to pay back other victims' money that had already been stolen. It was a pyramid scheme. Rob Peter to pay Paul, the old saying. That's exactly what was going on. Well, we'll get it all caught up. I'll get it all caught up. A little more oxy over here. The Badger family entitled over $1.17 million after a wrongful death settlement. But the money rerouted, recycled, used as patchwork for Murdaugh's ballooning personal debt. Again, facilitated, enabled, and orchestrated through Palmetto State Bank with Russell Lafitte at the controls. In each of these cases, Lafitte got paid. He pocketed five-figure fees for serving as a conservator. I know. But his real service was to Murdaugh. He wasn't overseeing the accounts. He was the grease in the gears of the fraud, the scam behind the curtain. Let's call it what it was, a small-town criminal syndicate in business attire. Just because they got nice, friendly accents and are dressed all nice and they got popcorn in the lobby doesn't mean they're not just as crooked as Tony Soprano. Lafitte used his position as a banker and, more importantly, as a conservator. That's what makes it so sick. To move money that didn't belong to him. The fraud wasn't just about cutting corners. It was systematic, deliberate, and it followed a chilling pattern, going after the most vulnerable. First, Alec Murdaugh would secure a settlement for a client, someone injured, often catastrophically. The money, usually hundreds of thousands or more, would be routed through Palmetto State Bank, frequently made payable directly to the bank. From the outside, that looked above board. That is how those sort of things work when they go into a conservatorship. It's standard for settlements to be routed through the fiduciary. That's when everybody else is looking at this and is going, that's how they got away with it. It looked normal on the surface. But not everybody gets to take a look at the books. Lafitte would open accounts in the client's names, accounts he controlled, and would never ask the clients. He'd authorize loans to Murdaugh then. No written approval, no disclosure, just an insider transaction between two men playing both sides of the table, their victims unaware this is even happening with their money. These weren't legitimate loans. There was no collateral, no payment plan. Just, hey, good buddy, old buddy, you know, good old boys. In many cases, no expectation of repayment unless it was from the next victim settlement. It's a Ponzi scheme racked. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's a Ponzi scheme wrapped in legalese. And to be very clear, Lafitte knew what he was doing. This wasn't a case of being bullied by Murdaugh. Lafitte was calculating. He was hands-on. He was neck deep. This wasn't some sloppy side hustle. Federal prosecutors identified 21 fraudulent transactions tied to Lafitte dating back to 2011. One of the most egregious was a $750,000 loan falsely marked as a beach house renovation that was actually used to cover Murdaugh's overdrafts at the time. Hundreds of thousands of dollars deep. It's a lot of overdrafts. That check got cut, processed, and buried. In total, Lafitte personally profited at least $110,000 just from conservator fees. Hope that was worth it. He didn't report it to the IRS either. That's just what was provable. The full scope, probably bigger, definitely deeper. On October 13th, 2025, Russell Lafitte was sentenced in South Carolina State Court to 13 years. That breaks down as 8 years of active incarceration served concurrently with his federal sentence and a suspended 5-year term, conditional on a probation and 350 hours of community service. It followed the guilty plea on 8 felony counts, including breach of trust with fraudulent intent, criminal conspiracy, and computer crime, all tied to his role enabling Murdaugh's theft from clients. That's only part of the picture. But wait, there's more. Yes, there is. Earlier this year, Lafitte was also sentenced in federal court. That case originally tried and won in 2013, hit a procedural snag. A juror issue caused the verdict to be thrown out on appeal, but rather than face another public trial, Lafitte folded. In April 25, he pled guilty to 6 federal counts, including conspiracy, bank fraud, and misapplication of bank funds. U.S. District Judge Richard Gergel handed down a 5-year federal prison sentence, which Lafitte will serve alongside the 8-year state sentence. Here's the part that gets lost in the headlines. This wasn't mercy. This was precision. By aligning the sentences, prosecutors ensured that Lafitte would serve real time and not clog up the calendar with duplicate trials. And in exchange, they secured full restitution. Lafitte has now paid $3.55 million, money that was locked down under bond conditions to keep him from hiding or liquidating assets while under indictment. He also agreed to a lifetime ban from banking. That should make everyone feel good. That's it. The Lafitte name is off the bank. The suit is gone. The mask is off. One of the most chilling lines to come out of the whole case came from State Prosecutor Creighton Waters. He said, in essence, Lafitte was responsible for loaning so much money to Murdaugh that Murdaugh became too big to fail. Alex was so much in hawk to Russell that Russell was in hawk to Alex. That's it, right there. This wasn't just about enabling Murdaugh. Lafitte needed him. They were entangled. Each had dirt on the other. Each was funneling money for the other. And when things started unraveling, neither could afford to go down alone. That's what happens when people in power stop being public servants and start being mutual liabilities. A lot of folks in the Lowcountry looked at Russell Lafitte and saw a respectable man. Nice family, nice suit. Top of a hometown bank, church going, polite. But what the case exposes, what the entire Murdaugh saga exposes, is how respectability can be a costume, a cover, a performance that conceals rot. Lafitte wasn't a fool. He wasn't tricked. He chose to weaponize his position. He chose to sign the documents. He chose to betray people who had already lost everything. And for what? To keep a corrupt system intact a little longer? To keep the illusion of status? To stay in the good graces of a man who was bleeding everyone around them dry? It worked. Until it didn't. This sentence doesn't undo the harm. It doesn't bring back stolen years, rebuild trust, or refill drained accounts. But what it does do is send a message to every banker, every lawyer, every self-protecting institution that thinks the rules don't apply. If you're powerful enough. The message is simple. You're not untouchable. And when the whole rotten tower collapses, you're going to be buried right alongside the man you helped build it for. Russell Lafitte isn't a footnote in the Murtaugh story. He's a central character. Not the one who pulled the trigger, but the one who kept the engine running while the others got hurt. And maybe that's the real takeaway here. That in these sprawling cases of crime and corruption, the worst harm isn't always done in a single moment of violence. Sometimes it's done slowly, on a spreadsheet, behind a bank desk, under a court seal. Done with a signature instead of a scream. That kind of betrayal? It deserves to be remembered just as clearly. Because when the person in charge of keeping you safe is also the one cashing the check, that's not just fraud, that's evil with a necktie. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, and you will find us. Do that same search wherever you're getting podcasts as well, so you don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many that we cover for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.